'Tis the season for pollen and allergies. Wake up, your eyes are glued together and look like grocery bags, you know, a little harder to see. Praise God. Chapter 18 of John. Let me pick up around verse 24. Peter warming himself by the fire is where we left off last Sunday. And we compared the fire in Jesus' eyes. That's the fire that we want. And certainly felt that this morning as we were worshiping together as a group. Denial comes in all kinds of forms. We know lukewarmness can manifest itself in just denying to pray when the Holy Spirit's nudging us to do something, to get in our word or pray. And then we go to Facebook, we go to the news, and we do different things. And I confessed before you my sin last week of lukewarmness. And that's kind of where we left off there. 24, verse 24 of chapter 18. Now, Annas sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, and they said there before him, Art not thou also one of the disciples? He denied it, said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman's, whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did I not see thee in the garden with him? Peter denied again. Immediately the cock crew. They led Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early. This is all taking place through the night into the morning. And it gets kind of weird, doesn't it, when you're up all night and there's like stuff going on and, you know, everything is weird. You could just imagine. You've been in those crises of the night that lead into the morning. And this is what's happening. There's confusion. There's stuff that's going on except for Jesus. He knows exactly what's happening. He would set his disciples free by just speaking the word, I am. And that would send everybody backwards. It would give time for his disciples to get out of the scene. That was his setting his disciples free. He's in control of the situation in the midst of all the craziness here. So they led Jesus to the hall of judgment. It was early. They themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Isn't it crazy? The Passover isn't just like something random. This is a very spiritual time for the Jews. This boggles my mind. Sometimes we could read over this stuff and it's like, wait a minute, they're celebrating the Passover about a lamb being sacrificed for the sins of the world, and there's the lamb that is being sacrificed. It, you know, right under your nose, you know, sometimes the truth is right there, and we miss it, right before us. We thank you for all the moms and dads that were patient with us through those years, the diaper years and the tantrum years. Thank you, Lord. Spirit of religion there with the Passover, very strong and still strong today. The spirit of religion where the truth is right there before you. Christ is right there, maybe a homeless man out in the street or woman. And there is Christ, the least there. And we miss it. Because we're in a hurry to get to some religious function. I've got to go preach. I don't have time. You know, that kind of thing. The spirit of religion, right there, so close he is, yet so far away from them. They wouldn't be defiled. It's time to get dirty, folks. It's time to put away the spirit of religion and get dirty and go find that homeless person. Go find that person that you think is disgusting. Maybe it's not a homeless person. And embrace them. Tell them that God loves them. And stop with this I can't get defiled thing. Jesus came down into the sewage of humanity. I remember a story that's coming to mind right now is St. Bill Gallatin started his church up here with the Calvary Chapels when they came over this way. Where I was ordained out of. He was, part of his job, you know, early on was to carry all the hats and be the janitor of the church too. And he was literally inside of the septic tank, shoveling it out or something. It was one of those old style ones. And shoveling the sheep dip, he called it, when someone came out. But The spirit of religion will keep us from engaging in things because we think we're going to get defiled. We're going to think a demon's going to jump on us. We're going to think of something of that nature. That could very well be the spirit of religion. And you could be missing Jesus right in front of your nose. Pilate went out unto them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" He just threw Jesus in, and what's the charge? Verse 30, "They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto you. If he wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have given him to you." Well, that doesn't really answer the question. What did he do? Pilate said, "Take him, you judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It's not lawful for us to put any man to death." And that was, Rome had taken away that right from the Jews, the capital punishment right. The scepter had been removed from them in that way. Supreme rule, Rome was now over that. "That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he should die. Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews?" So he's going to ask Jesus about his kingship and his kingdom here through a series of questions. "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, saying, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it to thee?" This is a very interesting interlude as we go into 19 here of Jesus and Pilate. And there's a lot of stuff going on, but I see just two people here. Jesus and Pilate. Pilate interviewing Jesus. Jesus drawing things out of Pilate. "Are you saying this, Pilate, yourself? God wishes none should perish." You could believe that Jesus has a heart to see Pilate saved here, to reach into the heart of Pilate. He's ministering. He hasn't stopped ministering at all here. All through this, right up until his cross, his death, and ascension, he's ministering to people. We opened up with a verse about him ministering to his mom. Hope to get there today. But that's Jesus ministering through all of this. Now ministering to Pilate. "Are you saying this, Pilate? That I'm the king of the Jews? That I'm the promised one, the Messiah? Or are you just bringing this information that you heard on the news? Is this just gossip? Are you going to say it? Are you going to confess it?" He's that close, right? He's that close. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew?" Spirit of religion. How many times have you guys heard this? "Do you know Jesus?" "Well, I'm a Baptist." "Well, I'm this. I'm that." And all of a sudden you feel this separation. You feel a wall go up. A spirit of religion. That's what it is. "Don't get near me with the truth." Walls go up. Protections go up. "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and thy chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." You can have all this world, right? You can have it all, right? You can have all this world. There it is. Go get it. "My kingdom is not of this world." Satan would say, "Go get it," to Jesus when he lifted him up and showed him all the glory of man. He said, "Go get it. Come on, go get it. My kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here." Pilate answered, therefore said unto him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. You said it. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." Poor Pilate just wanted to do my job. Man, I want to get done. 5 o'clock, come on. I just want to do my job. Leave me alone. Pilate is just as discontent as everyone else in this world, Jew, Gentile, boy, girl, man, and woman, just as discontent, they have that void in them. You get near that void in people, which we all have. You can have that confidence when you're talking to someone in the street. You can have that confidence. They have this void, just as Pilate has, just as we've all had until we were filled with the Holy Spirit. You can have that confidence. They have that. But they have this emptiness, this discontentment in them that's there. It's lingering. Pilate is just as discontent. He is in the same place as every human being that's ever been born until they encounter God. His Creator is before him now talking, which is very awesome to believe. It's not just the Jews and this is Jesus and this is the issue. This is going to start encroaching on the void that's in Pilate. People get near that void, and that's when you start pushing back. Don't get near my emptiness. Don't get near my loneliness. Don't get near that spot. And that's when I'm a Baptist, I'm this, and this, all that start coming. Don't get near that. That's a very sensitive area there. So Pilate's having that, Jesus is working on that particular area, and Pilate's having that penetration happen because the very word that can penetrate is speaking to him. The gospel is literally before him speaking. Art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I am. To this end I was born, for this cause I was born. I came into this world. What? What cause? To conquer territory? To say, this is my country here, and here are the borders on the Mediterranean, this is how it works, and no. For a democracy, or for, no. For truth. Whole different thing. A whole different thing. You can imagine Pilate, it's just like he's never heard anything like this. There's been challenges that have been of an earthly nature to overthrow the government, taxes and everything, all of these things. Horizontal, earthly, one inch deep kind of stuff. And now someone's speaking really weird about a kingdom of truth. And the cause that he was born to was for truth. And the cause that he's dying for is for truth. He's built it right into the creation that's all around us. Every fruit that you see is designed to die for the seed of truth that's within it. And that seed's going to bear eternity. It's going to bear eternal life. One tree can be a million years of trees, potentially. There's eternity inside of that fruit, and that seed is eternity. He came for truth. That truth makes us free. It brings us into that place of where we ought to be as eternal children of God, sons and daughters of the Most High. He is the King of truth. For this cause I came into this world. Everyone that hears the truth hears my voice. I work in technology. I understand what he's talking about here. You can have Maddie's not here, but he does a lot of this at my particular work where they call it interfacing. You have two systems at this hospital, and you've got this doctor's office over here, and they've got two different software packages. And to get those two things to talk is what he does. Because, you know, we put the data this way and we do it this way, and to get things to mesh so the patient's being taken care of and it's not all gobbledygook has been a struggle in the industry for years. It's the basis for a lot of the effort out there. Jesus is saying something here of that nature. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Okay, that is the calling of God that is put in you. And it can be a challenge for some people that don't even want God because they can hear the voice of God and they do everything to suppress it. They won't come into that light. But they're hearing the calling of God. They're hearing the voice of the Lord. They're hearing the voice of truth calling them. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. There's a compatibility there. God has designed our ear. He's designed us to be able to hear his voice. Pilate's reaction, his answers have been, now he's, instead of, it's just like, this is a Jewish problem, now he's allowed it to come in a little bit. You see that? What is truth? He says in verse 38. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? He's just allowed Jesus to get a little deeper into his void. What is truth? Normally, Pilate wouldn't be having this conversation with criminals. Okay? Jesus is the gospel, and he's working his way into the heart of Pilate. Pilate is going to have all kinds of things happen. Now, fear is going to happen as these verses roll out. He's going to have emotional reactions and different things happening. Will you see Pilate in heaven? Anybody know? And when he said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find him no fault at all. This confession about Jesus Christ, you can marry this back into Luke, where you have thieves on both sides of Jesus. And remember what the response was. They were both started railing on him, and the one recognized it. He heard the voice of truth. As Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, as Jesus was ministering, he started hearing it. He heard the voice of truth. There was a compatibility there. Okay, he started receiving that. He started connecting with the truth, and he said, no, wait a minute, shut up. This man is innocent. We deserve what we're getting here. Remember me when you get to paradise. Obviously, there had been some conversation about that already, and truth had been going out from the cross. Jesus still preaching, still giving the truth. He is the truth. He can't help to do anything but be the truth. He is good. He is love. He can't help but be anything but that. That is who he is. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find him no fault at all. So he's right at that same place where that thief was that said, this man is innocent. Pilate has at least gone that far. I don't know how far he went past that, but that's at least as far as he went with it. I find no fault in him. This man is true, and I'm going to put that truth on the cross before him. Above him, it would be nailed above the cross, saying, this is the King of the Jews, to the chagrin of the Jews. We will see. But you have a custom that I should release unto you, one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Was he mocking? No, he was telling the truth. I find no fault in him. He's telling the truth. Pilate went that far, that this guy is who he says he is. Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. He was no question about it. Everybody knew it. He was the guy. Okay, you get on the news, and there's Barabbas again. What'd he do? Then Pilate, in chapter 19, took Jesus and scourged him. Or he's going to use his own tools and resources to prove to the world that Jesus is exactly who he says he is. Pilate already knew it. He's going to go further and declare it to the whole world now. Because nothing would be able to escape the pursuit of truth by the Romans. No technique ever invented of man would fail pulling the truth out of than the Romans had perfected from the Persians going all the way back to Daniel. This type of torture, literally opening someone up, scourging, would be that whip with nine tails on it, embedded glass and lead chunks. So it'd stick in your skin, then as he pulled it out, it would pull the tissue, the skin, and the muscle out, start exposing bone. And you know how, you know, you get a cut and it's so tender, that first hit, everything's exposed, your nerves are exposed. Oh, don't touch that. And you favor that thing to have that hit again and again and again. You're going to tell the truth. Pilate knew that. He's going to declare to the world here, beyond a shadow of a doubt, put the evidence on the table that this is the promised one. This is the Holy One of Israel. This is the Redeemer of mankind, the King of the Jews. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, in verse 2 of chapter 19. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." They smote him with their hands. And this would be the Roman soldiers. Part of the punishment here, part of the process here would be the mocking. The soldiers totally enjoying this. The inhumanity to man, getting rise from the putting down and the killing of somebody in this way is demonic. "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. They're just smacking him and beating him. "Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." How much of Mary did she hear of this? She would be witnessing him being crucified here just in a few verses. How much did she catch of this beating of her son in Pilate, and the words that are being said is just glimpses, you know, just would she just be able to catch a little bit and just kind of look away? The tears flowing, it's like no more tears could flow, dehydrated of tears, you know, this mom watching her son, who she knew also there was nothing wrong in him. In fact, we haven't heard from her all the way since chapter 3, the wedding at Capernaum there, where she said, "Whatever he says, do it." She knew who he was. And perhaps because of that, there's been division in the family and the brothers who would see Jesus killed as well, her own other sons and daughters, not being a part of this engagement happening. Perhaps there's been division in the family. You know, Joseph is out of the picture. We don't hear at all from him. We don't know if he's died or not. We don't have that information. We just know he's not in the picture. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns in the purple robe. And Pilate said unto him, "Behold the man." Take a look, guys. There it is. I opened him up. There is the truth. I opened it up for you and revealed who this man is. So it's not my word. Now it's the process of this revealing of truth that we know and we've perfected that is before you. Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said unto them, "Take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." Interesting, Peter denied him three times, and we see three times here Pilate saying he is truth, affirming Jesus Christ, and saying, crazy, awesome. The Jews answered, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Uh-oh. Whoa. When Pilate heard this, what do you think happened? Jesus had made entranceway into this man's heart. There's an open door with Pilate now. It isn't callousness. It isn't up here in the mind. The gospel has penetrated into Pilate. This is the very Son of God. He's declared himself to be the Son of God, who Pilate just proved to say this man is true, is now declaring himself to be God the Son. You could imagine that staggering Pilate. Holy cow! I don't know if that was the expression. Probably something worldly like that. Fear struck Pilate in verse 8 there. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Terror is that word, struck into him. This is the roller coaster as it goes, whoop, down. You know what I mean? Okay? Whoa! This is how the gospel should affect each one of us, by the way. As we struggle with what truth is, and Jesus is working himself into our hearts, and we finally yield. Fear can happen, emotions can happen, all sorts of things can happen as the human being becomes a new creature in Christ. Behold, all things become new. He was the more afraid and went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, you can imagine this guy is shaking on the inside, probably more than he's ever done before. He's shaking in places he's never shaken before. We sang about it this morning.
He shakes the earth. He moves things. And this man, this great Pontius Pilate, is shooken to the core. Where do you come from? What a unique conversation that is happening here. From whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Where did you come from, man? He knows this man is truth. Can you imagine the quandary Pilate's in? A polished position, a politician. A man with such control, with such expectation put on him. And jurisdiction and all of this. And all of a sudden, he's got the Son of God, who he knows is the Son of God, right before him. This man is coming apart at the seams. At the seams. Then saith Pilate unto him, speaketh not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? You could imagine he's putting himself before Jesus, almost asking for help. Don't you know who I am and what position I am in? Do you know what's happening here? Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it was given to thee from above. Therefore, he that delivers me unto thee has a greater sin. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. Something indeed happens to people when you bring the gospel to them. You bring Jesus Christ. You bring the fragrance of Jesus. I liked how Simeon taught it last Sunday night when he said the various people bring healing to people just by being in their presence. It's the fragrance of Christ that just affects people. You don't. It's more than just giving a piece of paper. Your very presence, having Christ in you, affects people. It brings about healing to that human being who is so neglected, so lonely, so empty. Who will push back as you come near that void, but they so need that solution you have. The fragrance of Christ was very rich last Sunday night. What a beautiful night it was. Prophecy was going out, speaking about the members of the church body, especially the ones that were with us that night, going around the room. The Holy Spirit came over Simeon, and he was prophesying over people, their giftings, and it was beautiful. The church was edified. It was a real move of the Holy Spirit in a powerful way. Patty, leadership and mercy. Roger, evangelism. Terry, discernment and the working in the prophetic. Kelsey, teaching. Maddie and Mindy having the fragrance of Christ and just bringing healing by their very presence. Tom Hannon, who's watching Wales right now with Jan, praise God, they're having a great time. Teaching, mercy, encourager. Tom Alvaso was even visiting us that Simeon doesn't know, was speaking the truth about him. We all knew it. It was like, wow, he's getting it right on. It was like, whoa, he's perfect. The mercy that Tom has, the evangelistic outreach that he has, and the tender heart that he has towards people, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes that tenderness can work against you, and it can produce bitterness sometimes, and you got to be careful with these giftings that we have. You got to be careful and realize that they're spiritual giftings. Don't bring them into the flesh. Just going off on a little tangent here. Gretchen and Paul, he prophesied over our faith that we have. He's being recognized. Richard, evangelism, pastor, shepherd. Believe it, brother. Bud, mercy, pastor, shepherd, teaching. And then an exhortation went into Bud about giving into the word. And giving into it. So beautiful move of the Spirit last Sunday night. God is good. I would have never imagined things happening as they are unfolding. God is so good. Praise the Lord. All brought possible by this one that would lay his life down for us. And that process is happening now. Him dying and Him raising from the dead made that possible Sunday night for that type of love going on, that type of encouragement going on in the body. Jesus dying and raising again made that possible, that real spiritual move. So all the super stress and noise that's going on here, you just get the feeling that it's about Pilate. You know, all of the world and all the stuff going on, the volcanoes going on in the world, all the stuff. By the way, if you need a refrigerator, you can go to Hawaii. They're giving out free refrigerators. The volcano is throwing out refrigerator-sized boulders, they said in the paper. And you know, so I'm just quoting that. Out of spewing out of the mouth. Just can imagine rocks coming out that big out of a volcano. It's a poof. You know. So all of the world's, you know, just coming apart. It's going crazy. And yet Jesus cares about that one, that one heart, Pilate's heart here. It's just coming to me so powerfully. The love of God and all of the stuff going on, you know, just doesn't matter. It matters where the gospel is moving, folks. That's what matters. It matters to be the fragrance of Christ. That's what matters. It matters about the truth of the Lord. That's what matters. Last night in prayer meeting, it was coming out. There was a few of us here. It was about that. That's what matters. Get your eyes off of this and the nonsense and filling in the blanks and all that stuff we do. Just get your eyes on the promises of God, man. And I've heard it a million times, but when it feels real and it's real and it comes into you and it locks in, that's a different story. It becomes, you know, the power is really manifest. It's like, wow, it really is about Jesus. That's all that matters. It's all that matters. It's about Jesus. The songs were right on this morning, singing about Jesus. It's all about you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Pilate recoiling, I'm not a Jew, to what is truth. And now he's doing whatever he can here. And from that point on, he's like, how am I going to let this? What am I going to do? I got to release this guy. Verse 12, and from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, no! If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Uh-oh. You said it now. Okay, Pilate's a human being. We struggle, we fail. Peter's going to fail. He's already failed. Pilate, this is quite a predicament he's in here. He's not going to be able to do this in his own power, I'm saying. He's certainly not going to be able to circumvent the will of God, which is for Jesus to go through this. Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Pulled out the card there. Whosoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. They had given over to the Antichrist, by the way. These ones that are celebrating the Passover, hey, you're not worshiping Caesar. We worship Caesar, basically. That's what they're saying. You know, we're going to see that more and more as the Antichrist raises up. We don't know who that is. Don't follow a man, folks. I don't care how much he creates peace. If they give him the Nobel Peace Prize, what happens if they put his image on a coin, whatever they do, be careful. Don't follow a man. He might be doing great things. Be careful. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, behold your king. And they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said, shall I crucify your king? This isn't mockery. This is pleading. He's seeking to release him. The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And Pilate's heart being torn out with this. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha,
where they crucified him and two other with him on either the sides, two crosses next to him, both thieves. You can look on the other accounts for the details of that. And Jesus in the middle. And the Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The title then read by many of them, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city and was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. You see what Pilate's doing? I'm going to write it in all the languages. You see it? The man was affected by the gospel. He's affected by Jesus Christ. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, can you backspace? Edit. Can you say that he said that he said that he was the King of the Jews? That, in other words, that he blasphemed, that he lied. No. I wrote what I wrote. I wrote the truth. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier apart, and also his coat. Now the coat without seam, woven from the top throughout. Who gave that to him? His mom? Who knows? I got a nice Mother's Day gift. My mom gave me a Mother's Day gift. This came in the mail yesterday. So it was the first Mother's Day gift I ever got, Mom. Thank you. It was tick repellent, natural, organic, gluten-free, AIP, paleo, tick repellent. Thanks, Mom. God bless you. Lord, we pray for that situation, for that urgency, Lord God, whatever it is, Lord. We pray for those that need to get to that situation, would get there speedily, Lord God, and their focus would be clear, that they would get right to the thing they need to do. And we pray for that protection for those that serve you too, Lord God, in that capacity. You are servants of the Most High. Those that are in the police force, the men and women in blue, and these, and all of these, they are servants, it says in Romans. Thank you, Jesus. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my clothes among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things before the soldiers did. Okay, not only is his son beaten, but he's going to be naked on the cross before the whole world. And the last time she held him naked like that, she would put swaddling clothes on him. The last time he cried, I am thirsty, she would be able to take care of him, but not this time. What was 30 years probably seemed like 3 minutes for Mary, flashing back to the time that he would cry, I'm thirsty, but not from a cross, from a cradle. And he would be naked, and she would be able to wrap him up, but not this time. Come on! This is real love here. This is the thing. These are the things that God has called us to. Quit playing with the world. Quit playing with things that are an inch deep that won't satisfy. These things will satisfy. The gospel will satisfy you. Let it penetrate the void today that's in your heart fully. If there's ground that hasn't been conquered, allow him in. There stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mom, eye to eye, light flashing back, love conveyed back and forth. Jesus therefore saw his mother and disciple John standing by whom he loved. He said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. He would move his eyes focused from his mom to John, saying that, this is your son now. You've heard of adoptions happening, of children being adopted and so forth like that. But how about moms being adopted? And you see that here. He would say that to John here, behold your mom. Step in for me, John.
And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. In this, Jesus, knowing that all things now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, I thirst, from the cradle to the cross, the cry I thirst, that she would be able to satisfy, now would satisfy her. Way to go, Jesus. He took care of his people. He took care of his disciples. He spoke, I am. They all fall back. His disciples were set free. He's taking care of his mom, and now, lastly, himself. This is the last thing. I'm thirsty. He's taking care of everybody. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Jesus Christ. I stagger under the weight of this as Pilate did, Lord God, but even more, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to sing one of the songs that we did this morning, Lord. Let me call Gretchen, Lord. Maybe it was from Rogers. I'm listening to the wife. I don't know.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center.
Somebody else said. Thank you.